Later it would be said by Naboo and Gungan alike that they couldn't recall a colder winter than the one that followed Higo Damask's autumnal visit to their world. The rivers and even the falls below Theed froze. The rolling plains and tall forests were blanketed 3 meters deep with snow. Plasmic quakes rocked the Gallo Mountains and the lake country, the holy places, and the undersea city of Otogunga. And many of the egresses of the underwaterways that hollowed the planet were blocked by ice flows. Tapalo and Varuna had insisted on sending one of Naboo's signature starships to transport the Munes from Munalinst, and the sleek Nubian had set down at Theed spaceport, a small facility that would have to be enlarged 20-fold if Naboo hoped to one day become a player in galactic commerce. The city itself struck Plagueis as the very antithesis of Hardnadon. Where the capital of Munalinst was vertical, angular, and austere, Theed was low, convex and condensed, dominated by rotundas crowned with verdigris domes or flat roofs and tiered towers supported by round-topped archways. A river and several tributaries ran through the place, spanned by filigreed bridges and plunging in a series of high falls from an escarpment to verdant flatlands below. A cortege of air skimmers carried the black-robed Munes through streets better suited to pedestrian traffic to the interior courtyard of an ancient palace, where pretender to the throne Bon Tapalo, Varuna, and several other human advisors and would-be ministers of both sexes were on hand to welcome them. Draped in shimmer silk robes and propped by boots with high heels, the bearded and blonde-haired Tapalo already carried himself like a regent, albeit of a second-rate world, remaining seated while Higo Damask and the rest of the Munes were introduced and flanked by guards dressed in flare-skirted uniforms and armed with vintage blasters. Varuna, on the other hand, immediately fell into step alongside Damask as the Munes were being escorted into the central building of the complex.
"As I said when we spoke weeks back, Magister Damask, we are honored by your visit."
"And as I told you then, we all have something to gain." Damask turned slightly to look down at him. "Especially you, I suspect." Varuna gestured to himself in question. "Not now," Damask said softly. "When the time is right, you and I will confer privately." Under a broad arch and through a lobby of polished stone, they moved as a group, ultimately arriving at a second small courtyard where several tables had been set up, some overflowing with food and drink, and the largest reserved for the Munes. No sooner were they seated than servants appeared and began serving food, including various meats that the Munes politely declined. The practice of consuming food while conducting business was one that Damask had grown to tolerate in his dealings with humans, but in secret he detested it. For many years he had detested the company of humans as well. Barbaric meat-eaters that they were, humans were a highly evolved species. Given their native intelligence and shrewd faculties, they deserved to be treated with the same deference Munes were afforded. And yet many of the galaxy's sapient species considered themselves to be equal to humans, who had only themselves to blame. Unlike Munes, humans had no compunctions about lowering themselves to the level of less advanced beings. The slow-witted, disadvantaged, needy, and pitiful, making a pretense of equality and demonstrating a willingness to work and sweat cheek by dewlaps alongside them. Instead of celebrating their superiority, they frequently allowed themselves to be dragged down into mediocrity. A Mune would no sooner accept a position as a starship pilot or a smuggler than he would a career diplomat or a politician, unless required to do so for the greater good of Munes everywhere. Humans, though, could be found in every occupation. But what made them especially intriguing was their seeming intent to spread themselves to the far reaches of the galaxy without any sense of control or planning, at whatever cost, and using up world after world in their insatiable quest as if their diaspora from the core reflected some sort of species imperative. More important, the Force seemed not only to allow their unchecked dissemination, but to support it. In human hands, Damask suspected, rested the profane future of the galaxy.